Good morning. We have quite a few families doing summer things. Youth are in the Lopez's or with the youth. The Lobos aren't feeling well today. So, Father, we just lift, Lord, this service before your throne right now. And we just ask, God, that you would just touch every heart and every life, Lord, that's represented here and not represented, Lord. We pray for the youth, Lord, is at that camp. I pray right now that they would have just a day that they would remember, one that would be sealed in your love, sealed in your promises, Lord, and that they would grow in your knowledge of your grace and your mercy in the coming days. We pray, Lord, right now for our family, Lord, as we've suffered this loss of Scott, God, we pray that you would just comfort our hearts. Comfort every heart involved, Lord, with your grace, with your comforting Holy Spirit. We just ask that you would just allow all of us to be drawn to you and find our help in this time of need. We pray, Lord, for the Villalobos family, Lord, that you'd be with them, bring healing to their body, restore them back to full health in Jesus' name. Be with those that are traveling, going to the beach. Father, we just ask right now that everyone that is represented here, that you would just bless them, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that you're working in our hearts and our lives, Lord, even when we don't see it, Lord. As the song says, you never stop working, Lord. So we just give you permission to work deeper and more real in our lives than ever before. And everyone said, amen. You can stand if you want to.
Raise. So enough. Redeem me. just before we had service, Lynette and I were talking, and Lynette said one of the most powerful services she was ever at, there were only 7 people there. So we're going to continue in this atmosphere as Kendra plays. There is somebody here that has a word for this body, and I'm praying that there, with a boldness, you will step out and come and snatch this microphone from my hand and give it to this body that needs it so desperately. As we were singing this morning, I'm broken in one way, and in another way, I'm rejoicing. I'm broken because we lost our dear brother yesterday to cancer. And my heart hurts because their family is left without a dad and without a husband. But on the other hand, I'm rejoicing, and I'm rejoicing because my God still reigns. My God still hears. My God still moves. My God still loves powerfully. Powerfully, even when we don't know. So softly, as we sing this one more time, whoever it is that has a word from the Lord, please come and stand with me, and I will stand right here waiting for you. Thank you, Herman.
So good morning to everybody. I just wanted to share, Miriam and I, on Wednesday, we just hit our 20th anniversary, and it's been such a blessing, and I'm not sharing this to, receive an applause or congrats, but 12 years ago, we were 2 steps away from divorcing. Our lives were a mess. I mean, it wasn't good. You know, not just the marriage, children, parents, in-laws, and when that second song hit, I mean, I started crying because, you know, we all think that there's no hope, and we see other people that there's no hope, and there is hope, you know, and I can't remember the lyrics no more, but something about we see ashes, or he turns ashes into something wonderful, and I remember that's what it was. It's like, this is like ashes. It's done. It's over. And if it wasn't for one person and say, hey, go check out this church. They help people in need, families in need. That's all she said, friend of ours. And little did I know that the Lord was waiting for me there and her. Because when I told her, hey, you want to come here? She's like, yeah. You know, so there is hope for everybody. We just got to know that God is there. When we feel that we're too big of a sinner, that we're not good enough, we're wrong, man. That's the enemy destroying, taking away what hasn't even been there. But it has been, or it's just a seed that needs to be seeded. So I just want to tell everybody that there is hope. There is a God. He's alive. He's well, and he's here for us, and we need to be here for him too, and for each other.
This altar is open.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be opened unto you. I've been chewing on this verse all week, and I've been thinking about how do I seek first the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Heaven. Heaven is the kingdom of God, right? But we want the kingdom of God to be here with us. We're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And I've been thinking about how if it's not good for heaven, then it's not good for earth. If the stuff up there in heaven is happening and, you know, they're worshiping and they've got homes that God has built for all of us someday, and they're going along doing what they do, whatever is good for up there, then it's good for down here, and vice versa. If it's not good up there, then it's not good down here. And so, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we need to seek. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to let God come into every corner of our heart and sweep away the stuff that shouldn't be there. I'm just thinking about, okay, so my dad passed away 2 months ago, and I'm thinking about what he's doing up there and how I would long to be with him and all the good stuff. So, Holy Spirit, rain down. Let's do no eye. No eye has seen, no ear has heard.
Lord, we invite you to rain down in our lives. Lord, you have chosen us as your dwelling place. So you raining down is us living for you. You raining down is our character and our nature changing. You raining down is us seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. We make room for you in our lives. We make room for you in this service. As we've said before, let your will be done. Let your kingdom become into this service. As it, you desire in heaven, let it happen here today among us. We just thank you, Lord, that you're here right now. As the song says, you never leave us. You're here right now. We just invite you to work. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. Thank you that your restorative power is here right now, just as Herman shared, transforming and changing what looks like ashes into beauty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Nettie and Kendra. That was awesome. At the end of service, will you come up and do Build My Life one more time, too? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, take a few minutes and greet everyone. I do want to, first of all, say this is Lynette. And Lynette, for years, was our worship leader. Kendra was on the worship team and led worship for the youth. And so they're here. What's that? Home base. So they're home today. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. It is time for declarations. I'm going to try to do it here on my own here. This should be interesting. Yeah. Does it move? Yeah. Okay. So if you'd stand, we're declaring over Yakima the will of the Lord, we believe, that Yakima would be transformed and changed. So on three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we continue to lift this city before your throne right now, Father. We just thank you that you're working in hearts and lives, Lord, even though people can't even tell, Lord. You're working in their hearts. You're drawing people to you. You're causing circumstances and situations to take place in their lives that cause them to look to you, to be drawn to you, to receive your love. So, Lord, we just release the perfect will of the Lord Jesus Christ over the Yakima Valley. We pray for every school, Lord. Is there going to come back this fall, Lord? We pray that there would be teachers that have met you through the summer and will share the love of God with their students, would be shining bright in the schools, that people would see them and say, what happened? What's the transformation? And Lord, it was you working in their lives. Lord, we pray for our hospitals. We pray for our justice system. We pray for everything here in Yakima, Lord, that you would be working in hearts and lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you are working. We're agreeing with what you're already doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know what I was thinking as you were praying? You probably shouldn't be thinking while we're praying because we're supposed to be agreeing. But
it works.
I was thinking that we need to just pray that the Lord would give people in Yakima a new excitement about their city, a new love for their city. And so maybe we can work that into the declaration somehow. Yeah. Anyway,
it's not fixed in stone.
It's not fixed in stone. That's right. Just in black and white. And we can change. And that can be changed. So I'm going to do the announcements. And I am going to start by saying that this is the last reminder, right? Is that what Eric said or not? I don't know. Anyway. This is the last week that we're reminding everybody we start at 10:30, not at 10:45 anymore. 10:30 will be the new begin start time. What I've noticed is we're getting done really, really close to noon, and everybody can just go and have their summer, so it's kind of exciting. So anyway, so yes, this is our reminder that new start time is 10:30. Next. This is our backyard worship night, and this coming
Saturday night from 6 to 8. We're going to be in the backyard at Zeke and Tara's house. They're found at 1403 South 5th Avenue. Now, let me just tell you guys, their backyard is totally shaded, so it's nice and cool. And by the time 6 o'clock hits, it's starting to really cool off because the sun has already set over their house, gone down over their house. So it's nice and cool back there. So we hope that you will join us. And what we really are praying for is that you would recognize the opportunity to be able to continue to grow your relationships with one another as we have this worship night. Eric plays the guitar, and he and Skyly just lead. We all sit around in a circle. So just bring your lawn chair, come, and just have a wonderful time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that all that we have? And we thank you for giving. Okay, so I'm going to still tell the story because it's my turn to do that. Okay. Years and years and years ago, we, or actually the Lord put it on my heart, I think, that we needed to quit taking an offering, like, you know, walking the aisles and passing the bag. And the Lord really spoke to my heart that we needed to quit doing that. If we were trusting in the Lord, God was going to provide. So we changed it from taking an offering to letting you give an offering and letting it be part of your worship. And so at that time, our sweet Mike Gobb, who was still alive at the time, he made this box over here. And this box, he put a slot in the top of it and donated it to the church to let us let that be part of our worship. And for a long time, we had it set right here on the second step up, and you could come and do it. Now it's over to the side. You can still make it part of your worship, and that's what our prayer is. If you don't want to come forward, there's a box in the back of the foyer as you're leaving. You can slide it down in that box, but you can also give at onelifefamilyworship.com, and it's really easy to get on there. Just go to the giving. Is it a giving button? And they push? Yeah. Give. And so just click the give and follow the directions. It's real easy. So.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. As I said, Eric and several youth are at camp in Spokane, and they are having a great time. Lord's working. And hang on a second here. Lord's working.
Oh, the Lord's working.
Yeah, the Lord is working. Yep. You thought they were working? Some are working there, I'm sure. All right. So we've been going over past 3 weeks the blueprint for life and talking about the will of God, talking about how the will of God is something that we need to learn, something we need to ask God to show us what the will of God is for our life. How many know that the will of God for my life is not the will of God necessarily for your life? I believe that all of us have a certain path that we're to walk that is distinct and unique in God, and it is meant to bless not only the kingdom of God, to bless our lives and bring fulfillment. Amen? So this is the key verse. I've kind of narrowed it down now to just the two and kind of encapsulated them. But it came from First Chronicles 18 and 19. It was previous. But for those of you that weren't here before, what it is it's when David is telling Solomon all of the instructions of how to build the main temple, the most, you know, elaborate, beautiful temple there has probably ever been for the Israelites. And he's giving these directions to Solomon very specifically about, you know, singers and the way that the temple's being built and the way that the articles are to be made. Very, very similar to the way Moses was given directions by the Lord to make the tabernacle. And then this scripture, 19, says, do you want to read it?
Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord.
So every part of the plan, David told Solomon, this was given to me by the hand of the Lord, written, given to me by the hand of the Lord. Some people say, well, he was writing, but the Lord told him exactly what to write. That could be the case. Could also be that the Lord delivered to him in writing. But however it was, he gave him from heaven what he needed to create on earth what was then going to be their worship center. This was going to be where God was going to, at one point, come down and literally with fire consume the sacrifice to say, this is pleasing to me. And so this is a principle that I believe we can all take, is that we're not to be ignorant of the will of God for our lives. We don't have to be. We can know what the will of God is for us. I know if you were to ask me, Pastor Mike, what's the will of God for my life, as I showed you before, I would just go, I don't know for sure. I can tell you to know Jesus more, to commit your life to him more and more every single day. That's part of the will of God. To be more like Jesus, that's part of the will of God. But specifically about what does God want for your life specifically, well, I can't tell you that. And I don't think the Lord's told me specifically at any time what I'm to do. He has given me directions and ask me to be obedient. And he's given me guidance along the way. He's inspired me to make certain decisions. But I've never had like a entire blueprint for my life. Even though I'm saying this is the blueprint for our life. Well, it is the blueprint for our life. But we need to realize that it's like every day is a new step. That's why we seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's added after that, because you have to stay in the will of God. If we're not seeking, then I don't believe the will of God is happening the way that he wants it to. Now, can he take our mistakes and our stumbling and our, you know, paths that we go on and redirect us? Yes, he absolutely can. But is it the best for our lives? I don't think so. I think the best is to remain in Christ, remain in him.
So here's a question for all of us, just to think about. To this point in your life, this day, if you went over from the time that you gave your heart to the Lord to now, and God were to have downloaded it into you, everything that was going to happen to you to this day, from then to this day, would you even have wanted to know? Now think about that. Would I have wanted to know that my first husband was going to leave me for another woman and leave me with two small children? Would I have wanted to know that when we got married, I was going to gain a new son and that he was going to be completely handicapped and that years into our marriage, we were going to be burying him? Would I have wanted to know about the death of my dad? Would I have wanted to know about the death of Scott? Would I have wanted to know all these things at the beginning? I would have run for the hills. I would not have wanted to know that. God's will for our life, he gives to us as we can handle it and as he wants us to know it. We don't need to have everything downloaded from the very beginning because it would do us no good.
Yeah, that's good. Romans 12:2 says this. It's another key scripture.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we find out the will of God? Here's one of the reasons. Now, we've learned in other places, you can ask the Lord to show you his will for you, to show you and help you fulfill his will in your life. But renewing your mind. Renewing your mind is reading the word. Renewing your mind is, you know, unplugging from all the distractions of life. Renewing your mind is allowing your heart to change. You know, it's not just filling your mind with knowledge. It's allowing your heart to receive that knowledge. You know, Jesus says, you will know the truth. And we know that the truth is really Christ-centered. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But to know the truth, that word know means to experience it.
to have an intimate knowledge of it, not just to passively know the information. It's to know it in a way that brings total transformation to our lives. Amen?
Well, and I'm thinking, okay, Kendra, can I use you as an example, honey? Okay. Kendra works full-time, has a full-time job. She has a one-year-old, almost two. She's married. She's moved from Portland up to Kashmir just recently, lost her grandpa, all of these things. And Kendra is probably sitting on that chair right there saying, when would I have time? When would I have time to really unplug myself and really get alone with God? Let me just say, even young mothers, even mothers with children, mothers with jobs, all of these things, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's scripture. And so all we have to do is submit to him by saying, Lord, help me to see what your plan for me is right now. And what the plan for me right now may not be what the plan is going to look like in a year and a half from now. But for right now is all we need to, what we need to worry about. That's all we need to be concerned with is the right now.
That's good. So I wanted to back up one verse from, I wanted to, first of all, I'm focusing on the word pleasing. Pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to him today. Because when we're in the will of God, when we're seeking the will of God, we're pleasing to him. And so I wanted to focus on what does it mean to be pleasing to the Lord. So if we go to Romans 12:1, we're backing up one verse.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
This is one of the very first, one and two are one of the very first verses that I memorized when I was first saved. I think I've told you I've gotten one of those card deals, and it was in those card deals. And it's become, through my life, like a key for me to think, okay, am I laying my life on God's altar? Because that's really what it's talking about, a living sacrifice. I mean, if you guys have ever seen what they do with sacrifices, they go on an altar and they're killed. But their life ends at that altar. And it means this is a place of dedication. This is a place where I am consecrating this offering to you. Well, that's what our life's supposed to be like for God. We're laying it on his altar. We're laying it on, not just this altar, the altar of sacrifice. We're saying, I'm going to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And the thing is like, we can't always do it perfect. Sometimes we're just there on the altar, or we're just, you know, we're back from the altar because we were just on there and it was pretty hard.
And God is not expecting perfection.
No, he doesn't expect perfection.
But he does expecting willingness.
Willingness and obedience. Right. Yes. If we're obedient, it's better than even that sacrifice. I mean, we could say, yeah, I'm sacrificing my life for you, Lord. I'm coming to church every Sunday. All the different things, quote unquote, you know, Christian things that we can do. But it's really when we're obedient to what he asks us to do. Right. When we follow through with what he's asking us. But look at, when we do this, when we, in view of God's mercies, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we were singing, Holy Spirit, rain down. And, you know, years ago, before I had really the revelation of the abiding presence of God with me at all times, I would, like, come to a service wanting Holy Spirit to reveal himself. You know, whether it was like through a prophetic word, or whether through, you know, being slain in the Spirit, or all of those things that are manifestations of what we already have. But there is something about letting Holy Spirit reign. You can almost say, Holy Spirit, reign up or reign through me. I mean, have your way in me. You're in me. I give you permission. So that's kind of like what we're doing is Holy Spirit, reign down. But really, he's not coming from anywhere. He's just going to start existing in a way that we can realize our lives are being changed. Do you have a...
Well, I'm thinking of the two words, reign, R-A-I-N, and then R-E-I-G-H. or GN, GN. And to reign means that we allow Holy Spirit the authority to reign in our lives. But he first has to reign down in order for him to reign in our lives. So we need to remember there's two kinds of reign. And once Holy Spirit has reigned down, now that's an obvious thing. It's very obvious. We know the day when it happened that we allowed Holy Spirit to reign down on us. It's a memory. It's something that is powerful, that is so evident that we remember when it happened. It's not hard for us. But then to allow Holy Spirit to reign, R-E-I-G-N, in our life, that's a daily process. So reigning down, R-A-I-N, is an actual occurrence. But reigning in our lives is a process.
That's good.
It's continual. It's us taking over the reins and us doing it, or handing them to him and riding along. And that's a different reign. R-E-I-N-S. But anyway, I digress.
No, that's good. We've talked about that before. There's two kind of reigns, and they're both applicable.
Exactly.
So in Psalms 69, 30 through 31, this kind of really encapsulates, in a way, what Romans 12, 1 is saying. Go ahead.
I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than any ox or bull with horns and hoofs.
I will praise the Lord. I will offer thanksgiving. In other words, I'm going to take my, you know, my being, and I'm going to give him the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving that he's due. And it's more pleasing to him than all the bulls, all the lambs, all the, you know, all the goats, everything that was sacrificed on those altars. That pleases him more when we, with a willing heart, that's the key, willing heart. It's not with a heart that is like being forced to do it or trying to do it because, you know, we're you know, trying to be like everybody else, but it's out of a willing heart, a gift. It's like a gift. You know, when you worship God, it's a gift to him. He doesn't make you worship. He doesn't go through the pews and, you know, hit somebody on the, come on, lift your hands. He doesn't do that. And you know, and I've been in some services where, come on, people, raise your hand. It's fine, you know, it's people. But the thing is like, God doesn't do it. Why should we do it? Right? He doesn't say, you know.
Worship me.
Yeah. I mean, we can encourage you to worship. He is worthy of it. We can ask you, but really it's got to be a gift, because if you're doing it under compulsion, is it worth anything? No.
What is it that you say? There's a saying that you say that a person that gives something, a person convinced.
Oh, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still?
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
So say that again slowly.
A individual or person convinced against their will is actually of the same opinion and thought process.
So somebody standing up there saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, it's like what Bev Allen told us about David.
Oh, yeah.
David was 5 years old. He was coloring. He was turned around in his chair, kind of like how Mila is right there. And he was coloring in his book, and it was worship time, and Mom said, you need to stand up and worship. And he wanted to color in his book really badly. And she said, stand up and worship the Lord. And he's like, I want to color in my book. And she's like, you need to be worshiping. Everybody's worshiping. We need to worship right now. And he stood up, and he crossed his arms like this, and he looked up at her, 5 years old, and said adamantly, I may be standing up on the outside, but I am kneeling down coloring in my book on the inside. He still did not want to be standing there worshiping, and his heart was still to be coloring. And what she had missed, that her husband pointed out to her later, is he was singing the worship song as he was coloring in his little color book. And he said, Bev, he was worshiping. He was just worshiping in his own way. It's such a gift we give the Lord. But sometimes we look at it as being a necessity, like, ugh, it's time to worship. Like, God does not want to give it out of compulsion. He wants us to give it out of free will and out of a heart that really wants to worship him.
Yeah, same thing with our offering and our gifts. They all have to be a free will gift. Yep. Romans 14, 17 through 18.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with an attitude, you will
with this attitude.
Oh, with this attitude.
With an attitude.
We had a little girl that her name was Addie, and they called her Attitude. Sorry, let me redo that. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. Sorry about
that. That's good. No, that's good. So what is this saying here? Well, the scripture that that I remember, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I love the way that the New Living Translation says, is living a life. You could say it this way, is living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy. No, so where does our righteousness come from? Number one, it comes from Jesus. None of us stand in our own righteousness. None of us can go before God right now and say, wow, all of my behavior has been great. I can stand in my... No, it's all by the blood of Christ. It's all by the grace of God that we can even look at him. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we have his righteousness. So we can live in right standing with God. We can live in a place of good standing with God. And what is peace? Peace is the absence of chaos, right? And what does the enemy want to bring? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants chaos in our life. But there's peace in God. And you know, when we receive his peace, hopefully we can give that peace. We can release that peace to others. We can release that joy to others. And so when we do that, this is a pleasing life to God. Remaining in the Holy... Notice it's in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is definitely like in the target today. Really, really, really a necessity for this life to be in the will of God. We need the operation of the Holy Spirit. He does need to reign in us and reign down in us. And those, I like this, it will please God, but others will approve of you as well. Will approve of you as well. Others will see God working in you, and it's easier for you to get along with them. When you're pleasing God, you can have relationship with others. Isn't that good?
Yeah,
I like that.
Amen.
Another verse. This is what we were kind of just doing, and this is another thing that actually pleases the Lord.
1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. First of all, I ask that you pray for all people. Ask God to bless them and give them what they need, and give thanks. You should pray for rulers and for all who rule. Okay, hold on. And for all who have authority. Pray for these leaders so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives, lives full of devotion to God and respect for him. This is good and pleases God our Savior.
So praying for our president, praying for our city, our schools, that pleases God. So if we're not praying, I always like to do the opposite. If we're not praying for our leaders, if we're not praying for those who are over us, are we fully pleasing God? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like that's part of this will of God for our lives, is that we are ones that lift, whether we agree with them or not. You know, I know there are a lot of people, just by his poor poll numbers, that do not agree with President Biden. And there's a lot of people that probably, when they hear that name, trigger, you know, hopefully not here. But I mean, you know, he is someone that Jesus died for. And for whatever reason, he is in a place of authority. And so we're encouraged to pray for him. We're encouraged to pray a blessing over him. We're not encouraged to pray that he would, you know, trip and, you know, on the stairs or something like that. And we shouldn't rejoice when that happens. There's a way for us to think as believers that is right and pleasing to God. And one of the ways, if you want to keep from just, I guess, going down party lines and not getting to place sometimes where you're not able to have compassion for others, then pray for them. Pray for, you know, whatever party is opposite you. You know, I have a certain mindset and belief system that I follow a group, and there's a lot of stuff that I disagree with the others, but those still are people that Jesus died for.
Yeah.
And they're in a place where they can make decisions that can affect our lives. And if we pray for them, we'll say, well, what's my prayer going to do, Pastor? Well, you don't know. You know, it says that our prayers are like incense that goes up before the Lord, and they're in some kind of, you know, like container, spiritually speaking. I mean, I don't know, maybe they literally fill some kind of container, but it's like incense before God's throne. And I believe that they make a difference. And what if one of our prayers is the tipping point where, you know, the windows of heaven open up over Washington, D.C. or Olympia or whatever other place. Sacramento, I think it is in California, they could really use a windows of heaven moment where God changes and transforms lives. It can happen. It's happened in other places, other revivals, but it pleases him when we do that. I know it's kind of a touchy subject. Okay, final verse.
Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness. In all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord.
And find out what pleases the Lord. Try to determine what pleases the Lord. In other words, again, I don't have it here, but last week we had a verse that basically was saying, ask God to reveal his will for you. Request it. Find out what pleases the Lord, what you can do to please him. And then my suggestion is do it after that. Once you know what's going to please the Lord, once you know what the Lord's will is for you at this time, like you said, it's not the same maybe a year from now, but right now maybe he has something on your heart. Holy Spirit's telling you something that you can do at this very moment or live a certain way at this moment that's going to please him or it's going to be his will, then do it. It's just a matter of obedience.
And it may not be the same for me as it is for, like, Herman.
Oh, it's not the same.
It's totally different. Like, God totally speaks to Herman in a different way than he would speak to me. And he asks something of Herman that he would not ask of me. So it has to be personal, this finding out what the will of God is for your life and then praying and doing what he's asking us to do. It's very personal. It's just like a personal salvation. None of us came to the Lord in the same way. None of us were tugged and drawn by the Holy Spirit in the same way. God is very, very unique with each one of us. And we have to find out what that is for me, for you, and then do it with all your heart.
Yeah, and again, you guys maybe think, well, will of God, you're thinking this big, like, plan. You're thinking like, oh my Lord, how am I going to even do that? But the will of the Lord for you tomorrow, you're driving to work and you're saying, Lord, I want to know your will. And Pastor Mike and Gabe and Sharon on it for a while and it's put it on my heart and you're stirring me. So I want to know your will. And you're ready for him to say, you know, something really big. Yeah, I've got a ministry for you or something like that. And he says, well, son, daughter, I want you to love that person that's really being mean to you at work right now. I want you to be kind to them. I want you to speak kind words over them. I don't want you to say anything bad about them anymore.
And pray for them.
And pray for them. And it's like, well, Pastor, that's like, you know, that's like just real simple. Yeah, but, you know, the will of God sometimes is just one small step after another. And you do that. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. You start being obedient in that. And, you know, you're not doing it so that you can see the results. You're doing it just to be obedient. You let God do the results. You may never see what that 2 years of you being kind to that person that's always mean to you does. Or you may do it for a week and they start to change and they become, you don't know what it is. You're just being obedient to what God asked you to do. That's all he's asking for. He's not asking for you to get the results or to try to accomplish, you know, something that he's working in. Let him do the work. But you be obedient to what he asks you to do. It may be maybe other things, you know. And, I mean, that was just one example I could think of that seems like, well, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Well, it is. Because when you're obedient in that, then he says, okay, you're doing this now. Now, child, I have this for you. And maybe it's another thing that he wants to work in your heart and your life. You know, the will of God at first is for us to be more like Jesus. So he's always going to be challenging us about our character, our nature, things that we do that is not like Jesus, that he wants to change in us. Aw. So, does anyone have anything else that they would like to add to this? Herman.
This way?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks, bro.
Just turn it on, Herman.
Yeah, so that line you said, we're praying for others is pleasing to God, that never hit me. It's really true, because a lot of times, you know, people, especially that don't know, relationship with the Lord, they don't care about your prayers.
Yeah.
Right? You can pray for them, right? I'm going to pray for you. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. That's not going to work. But still, if it's in our hearts, it's pleasing to the Lord.
Exactly.
You know, we've talked about that at home, especially when you have kids and, oh, this person at work or at school and, can't stand the way. Hold on, honey. Who is this person? We've talked about that at home. It's, why don't we pray for that person right now? My daughter's attitude totally changes. So yeah, that's really good. Let's do that. Let's pray for others so it can be pleasing to God.
Yes.
And then we leave it in his court.
Yeah.
And then that other rain, you know, the rain that comes from heaven, that stops, right? But the other rain that we have, the ING,
yes,
that shouldn't stop. That should be continuous. Amen. Because it's given to us. It's for us to make it grow.
Amen. Yeah, from glory to glory, as the Bible says. Thank you, Herman. That's good. Anyone else? No one else? All right. Are you guys going to do Build My Life? Yeah. Are you being a grandmother? Do you need a...
I got it.
Okay. I'm going to go and pray, and then we'll sing this and we'll close. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. But Lord, as this song says, we want you, Lord, to build our lives. We choose to let you build our lives on you, Lord, on your love, Lord, on your truth, Lord, on the fruit of the Spirit, on the giftings of the Spirit, on everything that you've equipped us with, Lord, to be like you, Lord. We ask you to build our lives. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that all of us in the coming days would be able to hear you more clearly of what your will is for us, what we can do to please you, what simple things we can do, and maybe what big things we can do to please you. We know, Lord, that we don't do any of this on our own strength, that it's only you that gives us the capacity and the ability to do this. So we just surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy, worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Love to those around you this week. Be a blessing to those that you come in contact with. Make it so that they'll want to come back and be in your presence again. They won't avoid you when you're walking down the street. They'll run to say hi because they realize that they receive something from you that they are blessed by. And that's because it's the Jesus in you. It's not you, it's Jesus in you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful day. Remember, next Saturday night, 6 to 8 at the Villalobos, I'll send a message out, give everybody the address. Have a blessed week. Love y'all. Thank you, Nettie, Kendra. Awesome. Yes.